Chairman Welch.
Here.
Vice Chairman Horn. Mr. Galloway.
Here.
Dr. Highlander.
Here.
Dr. Martin.
Here.
Ms. Mosley.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Testerman.
Here.
Ms. Thurman.
Here.
Interim Superintendent Kelly.
Here. I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Have a motion to approve by Dr. Highlander and second by Ms. Thurman. Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Ms. Thurman.
Yes.
Chairman Welch.
Yes. At this time, we will turn into executive session.
Hi, my name is Lisa Guffey, and I have brought a young lady that public speaking has not always been her forte, and she's worked all summer long for this, and I'm very proud that she represents us tonight.
Good evening. When you think about July 4th, what comes to mind? Perhaps you think about a day off from work with picnics, fireworks, and those red, white, and blue flags displayed in front yards along your neighbor's streets. This is all good, but the one word that comes to my mind is freedom. It is a fact that we live in the United States of America where we can voice our opinions freely and can vote for the people of our choice. These are very good reasons why we should never take our freedom for granted. Have you ever thought about the American flag and all that it stands for? It represents an emblem of the greatest nation on earth. It has been carried through centuries in battle. It is placed on the graves of our honored dead who fought for the right for us to remain a free nation. And it flies high during peace times, as well as Old Glory. It is its name. Thank you. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Kelly, Dr. Welch, members of the board, thank you for allowing us time tonight to present to you a very special group from Loftus Middle School. This is the Beta Club. From Loftus Middle School, their principal, Brent Eller, and teacher and coach, Deanna Rice. They were recently in New Orleans, Louisiana, for the National Beta Club Convention back in June 23rd through the 26th, where this team won the national championship and the tower building contest. And not only did they win the national championship, they set a record of 16.5 feet in building this tower of straws, which held a tennis ball at the top of it for 1 minute without falling down. So I'm going to turn the podium over to Mr. Eller from Loftus and let him introduce the team.
Thank you, Dr. Sharp, and thank you guys for having us again tonight. We've gotten the opportunity to come before at the state level when we were state champions. Now that we're national champions, thank you so much for having us again tonight. Phenomenal group of students here. I can't say enough about them, their hard work and their dedication towards just competition and getting it right and teamwork and all that goes into a competition like this, countless hours of practice and parents that are so supportive that are here with us tonight that continue to bring their students every day through the summer, come and get them every day after school and things, countless hours that our coach and beta sponsor, Ms. Rice, gave up to continue to work with these students and all. Phenomenal job, and what a great way to represent Loftus Middle School. As you look at the school board agenda, it sure is nice to see Loftus Middle School listed under the recognitions and presentations. We'll take that anytime. But thank you for having us tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Rice, and she's going to have excuse me, some of the students come and speak. So Ms. Deanna Rice.
Like Mr. Eller said, this is a great group of students here. Cannot say enough. We don't have enough time here to say all the good things about them. I would like to say what an honor it is to be part of the Loftus team. This would not be possible without the support and dedication we get from our staff and our administration, all the way down to our janitors. Every day we're in their way, and they still support us. And are glad when we're ready to go so they can finish their job. Let me tell you a little bit about the competition. You get 250 straws, a roll of masking tape, which is supposed to be 1-inch masking tape. You can bring a pair of scissors, and you get 15 minutes, and that is it. When they ring the bell at 15 minutes, if you're not finished, hands off, you're done. Some of these guys have participated in this competition for 2 years. Last year we had an accident where one of our players was injured with a pair of scissors, and so therefore we did not. We were at the top, but we did not come home winners last year, but they did not give up. The bar was set high last year. They knew what they had to do this year. So at the state, like Mr. Eller said, we won the state competition. But going to the state, we knew after we won the state competition that the national competition was even going to be a little bit harder. We're going to have more competitors there. We knew that we're getting to top of the top of all the states. So they came home, and they even made it taller. Countless hours of practice. My schedule was, you never even had to ask them to practice. They asked me, we're going to practice today? We're going to practice today? They never take for granted being a part of Loftus School. It's students like this that make Loftus great. It's parents. These parents have been so supportive, fundraising, went to New Orleans with us. They've spent their time, their money, their efforts to help us get there. I'm going to go ahead and start introducing the students. They're going to tell a little bit about their job. This is definitely a teamwork activity. Each person has a job. Only a few mistakes can be overcome. They know to look out for each other. Big mistakes, if a big mistake happens, you're just done. And they knew their jobs. I'd like to introduce first off, Jackson Key.
My name is Jackson Key, and throughout the whole entire 15 minutes that we build the tower, my job is to rip the masking tape, and that is what they use to put the tower together. So I'd like to call John Key.
During the 15 minutes, I build one of the legs that go up the tower, and I basically put the tower together through the middle. We have three sides, and I put it through the middle. And I'd like to call Lake.
My name is Lake Patterson. I build the braces, which holds the tower together, and I build the top part of the tower, which supports and holds the tennis ball. And this is Sanoe Patterson.
I build the whole right side of the tower, including the right leg of the tower. And this is Austin Rollins.
I build the left side of the tower, which helps support the tower as well. And this is Dylan Yother.
Dylan Yother, and I'm the alternate in case one of them got hurt. And also, I keep time during practice, and when we're actually there, I just watch.
This is such a great group of students. Like I said, each one has a job. They know what it is. They know to look out for each other. Dylan did have to learn multiple jobs because he was our alternate. So in case anyone did have to drop out for whatever reason, there's a lot of math that goes into this. There's a lot of teamwork, collaboration. They take constructive criticism. They know what they have to fix. And it was a wonderful experience. And thank you guys for allowing us to be here tonight.
I like the fact the girl's always right. I like that.
John. Sorry. Mr. Eller, can they come around? Sorry. Sorry. And then Dr. Martin would like to say something. We're so proud of you
guys. Great job, Mr. Eller. Great job, buddy.
Oh, yeah. My kids went to school.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to these young people before they left tonight that wanted to congratulate them. And, you know, the lessons you learn in teamwork, whether it's on a football team or a basketball team or a soccer team or whatever, those are things that will stay with you for the rest of your life. And congratulations to your parents. And I want to thank those parents because, you know, things like this doesn't happen without a great parental involvement. We really appreciate that. I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you. At this time, we have Mr. Dan Liner with HCEA for our delegations.
Chairman Welch, board members, Dr. Kelly, I generally don't share my secrets, especially with such a large body of people, but a secret I have tonight is that I am more excited about this board meeting than any other board meeting I've attended. The reason I'm excited about this meeting is that I hope that a part of the agenda will be the Memorandum of Understanding. So I'm looking for some body language that indicates that's a part of the agenda. One of the concepts that's been most important to my work as a professional educator is collaboration. In the work that we have done, when I say we, I'm speaking of 13 individuals, in the work that we have done, we have exhibited collaboration in the truest sense of the word. Because the Memorandum of Understanding is the work of 13 individuals who spent 18 months, a very long period of time, meeting for hours, if not days, diligently and assiduously to reach an agreement between management and employees. And this Memorandum of Understanding has several components, those seven topics that you have reviewed, all of which are agreed upon by both management and employees. So I want to emphasize that this is a collaborative effort, and we really appreciate the work of individuals who have worked on this team. In this document, you'll find that the seven topics represent the best interest of both students, teachers, and parents as well, because parents are directly affected by the education that their students receive in classrooms in Hamilton County. It also represents the best interests of students because those tenets in the document represent working conditions, they represent salary, they represent insurance, all of which are beneficial to teachers who work in thousands of classrooms every day. I want to specifically point out some aspects of the agreement. One of those aspects of the agreement is that in the working conditions section, teachers are given individualized planning time per the document. And I really want to emphasize that phrase, individualized planning time. The document also includes information that for the first time in 2 years will provide stipends to educators for attending professional development. That is something that went away once we lost the MOA in June of 2013. So we're very appreciative of working through that agreement. And I might mention that this stipend is pending available funding. That particular phrase is used in the document. It also includes a 2% increase in salary, which this board has already approved at the last meeting. In addition to that, it includes a $250 bonus as well for teachers that will be given, actually to all educators that will be given before Thanksgiving. So we're certainly appreciative of that. A new section, as I noted in an email that I sent to you, is called Fringe Benefits. One of the fringe benefits is offered is an increase of $20 per unused sick leave day for teachers that announce the retirement before February 1. We feel that this is an incentive for those teachers to announce the retirement early to allow HR to make important decisions concerning personnel. So we're really appreciative of that particular part of this document.
And I
would be remiss if I did not recognize the team. And when I say the team, I'm speaking of 13 individuals, not two different teams, even though the team came together representing management and employees, but we became a collaborative team that met and ate together and sometimes laughed together and sometimes spoke loudly together, but we represented a team of people with a concerted effort to produce a document through this collaborative effort. And I want to mention specifically these 13 individuals who comprise the team. They include Lori Cleveland, Scott Farley, Gil Highlander, Stephen Hinkle, Christy Jordan, Diamond Kelly, Lee McDade, Lance Mahan, Jane Reynolds, Robert Sharp, Marilyn Spickard, Stacy Stewart, and LeFrederick Thurkill. It is my position that this MOU should be ratified by the board tonight, and I trust that it will be. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Leonard. Next, we have Ms. Stacy Velp in Ottawa Girls Soccer.
Good evening. Not Stacy Velp, but my apologies for the change in speakers this evening, but my wife did ask me to support her this evening, so I'll be presenting on behalf of the Lady Owls soccer booster team. We are saddened that we're here before you again tonight to discuss the Ottawa Lady Owls soccer team practice and game field situation. The history of this situation, along with the current state of affairs, was brought to the board's attention in April due to the fact that HCD administration is not and has not been capable of resolving this issue in well over a 10-year period. It was clearly stated in our last appearance that approximately 10 years ago, frustrated parents threatened a Title IX lawsuit, which produced a temporary fix with a very clear understanding that a permanent solution would be required in the near future. Obviously, that permanent solution never came about. So just to refresh everyone's memory, we will again remind you of what has brought us to this point. In the fall of 2015, Christway Church met with Ottawa High School administration, informing them that once the 2015 girls soccer season was over, that the temporary fix practice field could no longer be used, as they are planning on converting that into a parking lot. Without a field to practice on, we were literally forced to bring this to the board's attention when the administration failed to take any action. To date, we again have a temporary fix to the practice field situation, which is the baseball field. That field is not adequate for a soccer field for us. We are very thankful and grateful to the baseball coach who has opened up that field for us to practice on. We know that he spends many personal hours with the upkeep and maintenance on that field and takes great pride in the way that it looks. We'd also like it to be known that most of the soccer boosters and families are not just soccer supporters, but we're also sports fanatics. We love baseball and football just as much as we do soccer. And in no way do we wish to interrupt the normal activities leading up to Friday night football or interfere with the related activities like painting and mowing the football field. This is simply the hand we have been dealt by the administration. We would be ecstatic if we had our own field to play on and practice on. It is very unfortunate that the administration has not taken this very seriously. As a result of our efforts to find a resolution to this problem, we are slowly becoming and being labeled as the black sheep of the community. Without a doubt, I believe if the shoe was on the other foot, they would equally pursue a resolution for their daughter's right to equal facilities. While this fight should be taking place within the HCD administration, it has been left up to the soccer boosters to press the matter. We are truly disappointed in the state of affairs that has left our reputation tarnished, when the blame should be laid at the feet of this and the previous administrations. If anything, the girls on this team should be praised for their accomplishments and perseverance through this entire ordeal. If you were to look at what exemplifies the term student athlete, then you have to look no further than the senior members of this team. I would be willing to bet you will not find a higher academic achieving athletic group in this county. These girls aren't your average athletes. They are the cream of the crop and literally represent the very top of their class. I think that goes a long way in establishing the character and reflects highly on the coach who has developed and nurtured these girls over the past 3 years. To put another label on them is disgraceful. It was with high hopes by bringing this to the board's attention we would have a permanent solution well in the works by this point. And after reviewing the 2016 schedules for football and soccer, the AD at Ottawa High School has asked only the soccer team to adjust their schedules. We have been asked to adjust our schedules not because they conflict with any football games, but because the field needs to be painted on the days that we have games. When we were asked to adjust our schedules, not only because of this conflict, it puts us in a situation where temperatures would be at their peak if we had to do it earlier in the day, and many of the parents would not be able to attend the games. Several of us, including my wife and I, have been out painting the soccer field under the lights in the past, and we just don't see the quality in this request. Again, we truly hate the fact that we are in the situation where we interfere with these activities, but we've been backed into a corner where there's no reasonable solution that's been presented to us. We would gladly welcome other booster groups to support us in pressing this matter with the administration so all parties involved would benefit. Is it really unfair to ask for 3 soccer games that the painting can be done after our game? I don't think so. We feel it's clear where the burden now lies, and we have no plans to address the board or administration again, and we're looking forward to a prompt resolution to this matter. My daughter and the other seniors on this team will never see the benefits from these activities, if anything ever does happen, but we hope to leave it in a little better shape than the way we found it. We are only asking for equal opportunity for the Lady Owls. This is something that should have been offered to the girls' team just like it was the boys' team. Thank you for your attention. And if the board would allow, I've got a friend with me his family was actually instrumental in building the football field at Ottawa High School.
Do what?
Thank you. My name is Buddy Rogers. I'm a 1982 graduate of Ottawa High School. My family was instrumental in building the stadium. My dad built the goalposts. They're no longer on the main field, but they're on the practice field still. I laid sod on this field. In fact, my family and 3 or 4 other families back in that day, in the late 70s, early 80s, put up their homes for collateral so the visitation stadium can be built, the stands on the visitor side. When the stadium was first built, they only had the home side. So I don't have a girl that plays on this team anymore. In 2001, my oldest daughter played soccer for Ottawa. When she joined all of our practices, all of our games, home games, were at Readout. Then my younger daughter came along, and from 2001 to 2006, my daughters played on those teams together. And we were allowed to play eventually at the stadium. And I remember several times we had tournaments on Saturday. I would get off of work, and some other soccer dads would come after the football team played, which ended at 10:30, 11 o'clock. We painted the field, got it ready for the soccer game the next day. And I think the football parents should be able to do the same thing. Like I said, I don't have a girl on the team now, but I do teach three of these young ladies in Sunday school, my wife and I do. And like I say, Brian mentioned that this was a 10-year problem. It goes way back further than that. 2001 is when my oldest daughter joined the team. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next item on our agenda, let me mention that Ms. Horn's not in attendance with us tonight. Her father, Mr. George Reinhold, passed away earlier today. So our thoughts and prayers are with Ms. Horn and her family. Next on our agenda is our minutes from our special call session of April the 14th. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Ms. Mosley, a second by Dr. Highlander. Do I have any discussion? Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Next, we have our consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Dr. Martin, a second by Mr. Ricks. Discussion?
Yes, I'd like to pull the MOU just for a little bit of clarification.
That's under administrative matters, Ms. Thurman.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Any other items? Not. We had a motion by Dr. Martin and a second by Mr. Ricks to approve the consent agenda. Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Ms. Thurman.
Yes.
Chairman Welch.
Yes. Next, under administrative matters, Dr. McDay, the Volunteer Electric Cooperative. Is it Mr. Witt?
Chairman Welch. Lost my paper here. Basically, this is agreement with VEC. They actually approached us about this opportunity. It would affect Ottawa Elementary and Snow Hill Elementary. And the short version of this is they've approached us to reduce our energy consumption during their peak load time, which is everybody wakes up, they're getting ready to work, everybody flips the lights on, so they see a peak load. They'll give us a 30-minute window to reduce our load at Ottawa Elementary and Snow Hill Elementary, either by turning air conditions off, turning boilers off, whatever the case may be. We're going to make an effort to reduce our energy consumption. It's basically just an agreement that it's a win-win situation. If we can reduce our energy consumption, we see the benefit. If not, it's no loss to us. There's no penalty. So it's a win-win situation.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve.
And I will second, but I do need discussion.
Mr. Testerman made a motion with Dr. Highlander second. Discussion? Dr. Highlander?
Yes, I know Ottawa's got a pretty well state-of-the-art air conditioning, heating, and so forth. That Snow Hill has been having a lot of problems with theirs in the past. Is that pretty well clear? Last spring, that was a lot of trouble. Have we got them pretty well straightened out, do you think? Or?
I believe so. I can double-check.
I'd appreciate that because if the units are having trouble functioning and then it gets really hot real fast, then in August it'd be rough. But I would appreciate your double-checking.
Yeah,
sounds like a good money.
Further discussion? If not, roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Ms. Thurman.
Yes.
Chairman Welch.
Yes. Next, the interlocal agreement. Mr. Witt with Thrasher Elementary.
Yes, sir. Again, we were approached by the town of Signal Mountain to use the athletic field behind Thrasher Elementary. In return, they were going to take care of all the maintenance and all of the mowing and take care of the field. And we have discussed this with the principal and administration at Thrasher. They're in agreement with this. We've talked to the town manager and wrote up an agreement that our attorney, Scott Bennett, has looked at and reviewed and agrees with. And I recommend approval on this as well.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Galloway and a second by Dr. Highlander. Discussion? Roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Dr. Highlander?
Yes.
Dr. Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Mosley?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Ms. Thurman?
Yes.
Chairman Welch?
Yes. Finally, Dr. McDade, the MOU.
Thank you, Dr. Welch. You have before you 18 months worth of work from 13 very hardworking members to get an agreement between HCDE and the ACEA. You were given this last week, so if you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to field those at this time. If not, I do recommend approval.
We have a motion on the floor.
I move that we approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Ricks and a second by Dr. Highlander. Discussion. Ms. Thurman?
Yeah, there's just a couple of things on. I don't believe the pages are numbered. Under, it continues to say professional employees. Does this also apply to classified employees? Is this, or do they work off of a different?
Yes, ma'am. The only thing that under the new PECA law, the Professional Educators Collaborative Conferencing Act, the only thing we can negotiate for is professional educators.
Okay, but the classified looks pretty much like this, except they just have their own handbook, I guess, pretty much.
We really don't have anything for the classified.
Okay. Well,
I mean, we operate under the same. I mean, okay. We don't.
Okay, well, I just wanted to just keep saying professional employees. I just was kind of wondering about that. Okay, and then there's another on the under professional employee disciplinary procedures. On down at the bottom, it says a supervisor shall have the discretion, depending on the severity of the problem, to omit steps A and B. But above that, there's only step A and A. I think that just might be a typo there.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
As if you got that. Okay. I couldn't find B. Okay, that's all I needed. Thank you.
Dr. Martin?
Mr. Bennett, let me ask you a question about this document. If we don't approve this document for whatever reason, what happens?
If you don't approve it, or if you don't approve any part of it, then the portions with those portions of the relationship between the board and the employees would be governed by board policy and state law.
Okay. I have a question, Dr. McDade. It is under insurance, section 9, the last paragraph. And it says retired professional employees who meet the requirements of the age, which is 55, and have been between 10 and 19 years in the Hamilton County school system are entitled to benefits, talking about health insurance, but must pay 40% of the current health insurance. So I want to ask a question about that. Does that mean that if someone began as a teacher with us in Hamilton County, they might have taught 20 years in Florida, but if they began with us at age 45 and they taught from the age 45 to 55, that we're going to pay 40% of their health insurance until they get to Medicare and Medicaid? Is that, am I reading that correct?
Yes, sir. That's been past practice as well.
Okay.
We're currently under those same parameters.
I just have a real problem with that aspect of it. Because I know that, and I don't know if there's a way that other things I find, you know, okay. I just have a problem with that because I know in any other company, I don't imagine that Volkswagen or some of these other employers would say to someone, come in and work just 10 years and then you've got insurance when you retire for the next 10 years at 40%. And I don't know if there's a way to resolve that, if there's a way to amend that. I don't know if that causes heartburn for anyone else, if I'm the only one, but that's my concern. So that's why I'm asking you, Mr. Bennett, Is there a way we amend this, or we just approve it? We either approve it or we don't.
Well, if you don't approve it, then you revert back to board policy, which means that you make these allowances from year to year based upon your budget. The board, again, has discretion. Unlike the old EPNA, the board has a discretion to approve some of this, all of this, or none of this. So if it was the will of the board to take out a particular section and to approve the remainder of the MOU, that's within the discretion of the board.
And so what would happen is, would it have to go back to the collaborative conference and they would have to approve it with something being taken out or something added to it?
The way it works under the current system, in fact, Ms. Stewart and I were actually discussing this earlier. Under the old, and I feel like I need to tell you how it used to work, under the way it used to work, if you voted no, it would go back to the parties and there would be negotiations. The board would have to approve and the employees would have to approve. Under the system now, the team is the representative of the professional employees. They present something to you, and whatever you ratify becomes the MOU. So if you leave out a portion, then that portion is not part of the MOU that has been ratified. Now, what could happen is, if this board chooses to leave out say this section that you've addressed, the conferencing team, which has a term of 3 years, I guess now I can't remember how long we're into the term of this particular team. I'm looking over at Dr. McDade. I guess if you've been doing this for 18 months, you've got another 18 months. So there's nothing that precludes the team from coming back with another proposal. So it's not as if this issue becomes a dead letter, if you follow what I'm saying. So if the board does not approve it, the team can come back with something else.
Is there further discussion?
I want to double check. It's Dr. McDade, they have to be at least 55 years old to draw this. So
for the 10 years,
and so they would draw the same amount. They would be paying the same amount that a current teacher would be paying for theirs. Is that correct?
No.
No,
they'll pay 40%.
If a teacher's
there for 20 years, if I understand this right, Ms. Stewart, if you could help me understand. If there's a teacher's with us for 20 years and in the system of Tennessee for 30, it's 100% when they get to their 55th birthday forward. Is that correct?
The teacher continues to pay the regular rate that they have paid while they were employed.
But 40% is significantly more than the regular rate.
It's significantly more.
It's significantly more than the regular rate.
More than the regular rate, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
That's
significantly, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand this particular provision regarding insurance, I think the team's aim was to write it in such a way as to capture existing practice. So it's, at least with regard to this, it's not changing anything from what the board's already doing. And I'll also point out that unlike the old EPNA, where the same contract essentially rolled over and over and over and over, under the MOU, under this new law, this is reviewed annually, but you really have a chance to change the contract substantively every 3 years if there's something that you find you don't like. So you have far more flexibility from a management perspective than you did under the old laws regime.
Well, I don't like this part, Dr. Welch, but I guess my question for finance and for HR is how much do we spend on this category of employees that have worked maybe 10 years or 10 to 19 years, who have retired with just 10 years of service, and that we're paying this 40%? How much money is that?
I can't speak to the money piece of it. I'll have to defer to Christy, but I did want to say that just like Mr. Bennett said, that this is not a change. We are capturing long, long time existing practice, and this is such an important piece of our recruiting tools for recruiting and also retaining teachers. Our benefits packet is one of the main things that we use to draw people to Hamilton County, and this particular benefit not only draws them but keeps them here. It's worth staying because you could potentially have this benefit of affordable health insurance upon retirement. So it's a key piece of our recruitment and retention.
It also incentivizes to some degree people to retire, and then those that are hired in at a lower salary level typically.
That's correct. Yes.
So there's a savings ultimately there. Ms. Jordan. Did you have an answer for Dr. Martin?
You asked about the cost. Those are not broken out separately. We have the cost of, we know the cost of each kind of insurance program that we've got. You know, we've got the three different insurance programs. We have costs broken down in various ways, but we have not segregated this particular group of people.
All right. We have a motion to approve and a second. Further discussion, roll call, Ms. Ford.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Dr. Highlander.
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
No.
Ms. Mosley.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Ms. Thurman.
Yes.
Chairman Welch.
Yes. The final item on our agenda tonight. Last week we began discussion of the superintendent search firms that responded to an RFQ. You have a spreadsheet before you. If each board member can pick three. If there's any questions first, please ask. You don't have it somewhere. It's up there. It's up there. If you have any questions, please ask that. If I would like everybody to pick three because it skews the totals significantly if someone doesn't. So if you don't pick three, then we will add the next highest getting vote total as your third vote so it doesn't skew the totals. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We just
vote for the top one? Just the top one. If there's a tie, we'll vote again and we'll use the second. But
we vote in all three columns?
No, just the top one.
Okay.
Yeah, just pass
them
down.
I got to pick three.
Mr. Chairman, I've got the selection sheets here, and I'll just go ahead and read out what everyone has, and then I will
tabulate.
I'm sorry?
Ms. Ford can tabulate as you read out.
And I guess we'll figure out the highest vote getters from there and figure out, in terms of preference, how the board wants to proceed. Let's see. Ms. Mosley cast a selection for Coleman, for Hazard, and for McPherson. Ms. Thurman casts for Coleman, McPherson, and Ray. Mr. Ricks has cast a vote for TSBA and no one else. I'll have to figure out how to allocate a vote later. Dr. Highlander has cast for Coleman, McPherson, and TSBA. Mr. Galloway for Coleman, McPherson, and TSBA. Dr. Martin for Coleman, Hazard, and McPherson. Chairman Welch for Coleman, McPherson, and Ray. And Mr. Testerman for TSBA only. So tallying the votes, we see that Coleman has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hazard has 2. McPherson has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's why I went to law school. Ray and Associates has 2. TSBA has 4. So without giving any votes or imputing any votes for Mr. Ricks and Mr. Testerman, that your two highest vote getters are Coleman and McPherson. Your next highest is TSBA.
Okay. Then can we will coordinate with Mr. Bennett with your office. Can you coordinate with their representatives and see when a date is that we can call a board meeting with those representatives?
Sure.
That we can interview those firms.
Happy to.
As soon as you get that, then we will, and let's put that no later than 2 weeks out, we will call a meeting to do that.
Very well.
Do we have any other events or announcements? Not our next, the first full day of school will occur just after, just before our next board meeting. And I believe that will be when our next regular scheduled work session is on August the 11th. If not, this meeting stand adjourned.